Well, I hope that's how you feel this morning, amen. If you don't feel that way this morning, I can tell you there's a need in your life, and that's Him. We've let so many things interfere, it gets in the way. But I'm glad this morning, if you'll let Him be, He'll be all you need this morning. I promise you that. How do you know, preacher? Because He's done it for me, amen. And if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you. And I'm going to show you something this morning. I love how the Lord puts things together. I'm going to show you a man this morning that can testify to that song in a great way this morning. Take your Bibles with us this morning to the book of John. John chapter 5 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. If you're not, look on with your neighbor. John chapter 5 this morning. Again, we appreciate you being with us this morning. I hope you'll come on back tonight. Don't miss church on Sunday evening. A lot of people stay at home. You miss out a great thing, not because of anything we're doing, but you ought to want more of the Lord in these days. And if you believe the Lord's coming back, you ought to be here tonight, amen? Because He says, the more we see these things happening, we ought to be doing more and being around the things of God more. So I hope you'll be back this evening for that. John chapter 5 this morning, John chapter 5. Let's stand together this morning, a very familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 5, we see a great miracle the Lord does here. John chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled of the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the good songs, how they've stirred my heart this morning. And God, how these scriptures have come back into my mind once again. God, as we listen to that beautiful song about all I need is you. Lord, I pray this morning, God, as we've gathered together in a place like this, for just for a moment like this, God, would you help us to die to ourselves this morning? God, help us not to be thinking about this afternoon, not to be thinking about lunch or what we've got planned in the weeks ahead. But God, I pray this morning, God, that you'd put a holy hush in this place. God, would you speak to hearts as only you can? God, I'm sure this morning in a number like this, there's going to be somebody that's lost. God, many this morning, God, are trusting in all kinds of things, but I don't know this morning. I can't see what lies in front of these people, Lord, but I know you do. And God, I pray this morning, God, would you please, Lord, that one this morning, God, that's closest to hell, that one this morning, God, that's not fully trusting you as Savior, I pray this morning, oh God, would you let them see you high and lifted up? Lord, I know there's folks here this morning that are saved. God, they might be cold and indifferent this morning. Oh, God, would you please help them? Help me today, God, to die again to this old flesh. God, help us to draw closer to you. God, I pray again, God, that you'd stir in our midst as only you can. And I ask you again today, whatever it is, whatever it might be in my life, God, it might be hindering, Lord, I pray. Oh, God, would you please remove that this morning, God. God, help me, Lord, to die again to myself, Lord, that I could be closer to you. And, Lord, we thank you. God, I pray for our young folks this morning, God, a good number this morning. Thank you, Lord, Lord, for just giving us an opportunity to have a little bit of influence in our life today. Lord, I pray, God, as they're being taught this morning, God, that the Holy Spirit of God is nudging, God, that they're tugging a part of their hearts, Lord, and I pray, God, that people would be saved in this place today, Lord, and we'll give you the glory for it all. For it's in your precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, what a beautiful song that Brother Russell just sang, beautiful songs that the choir sang this morning. And now as we draw our mind this morning to the Word of God, again, it's not what the preacher thinks or it's not what the Baptists think this morning. As I hear so many things in our day. And we live, and I think that's one of the troubles that we live in today, is there's so many things being said that go contrary to truth. And that's one of the things, if you're visiting with this morning, I want to tell you, thank you again for coming our way this morning. We count it an honor. But I want to tell you, not just for visitors, but for all of this morning, I want to draw back to what Paul had to say. What saith the Scriptures? And that's where we want to stand this morning, on what the Bible has to say. Not again what I believe or what I say, but what saith the Scriptures. And as we draw our mind to what the story that we just read, and again, don't take what we read this morning like a fairy tale. Many times people read the Bible and they think, well, that's just like a comic strip, or that's just like a novel or something of that nature. Let me tell you this morning, there was literally a man this day that we read about here in John chapter 5 that lay that day there beside that pool like he had laid day in and day out over and over as he laid there in the condition that he was in. And it wasn't just him. It was a multitude, the Bible says. And let me tell you something. If you've never been around it much, you don't know. Have you ever been around death enough to smell it? There's nothing pretty about it. My daughter's in nursing school. And I'm very inquisitive a lot of times. When she gets done with nursing school, I'll be educated enough I could go to nursing school. You know, I found the key to nursing school was index cards, and we buy them by the thousands. but she had to do her OR. Any nurses in here? Anybody nurse in here? Okay. She had to take her OR rotation last week, week before last, and I asked her, I said, well, what did you do? What did you get to see? You know, I was hoping brain surgery or something like that, you know. But there was a guy who lost his leg. I don't know anything, probably diabetes and the way she made it sound. And I you know, dummy me, I asked questions. I said, well, how'd they take his leg off? And she began to tell me the process of what they went through of removing that leg. And I bring all that to the place of, I said, you ever been to the dentist? Everybody been to the dentist? It's a good thing sometimes if you got bad teeth. Ever had your teeth drilled? Don't you hate it? When they put that drill in there, and it hits that tooth, and all of a sudden that little smoke swirls up out of your mouth into your nostril. Stinks, don't it? When I was in the fire department, one of the calls that I ran early in my career as a fireman was a man hit a telephone pole and pinned him in. His car caught on fire. He died. He burned up in the fire. He was screaming as we were trying to put the fire out. And that smell of burning flesh, it's one of those things that if you've ever smelled it, you know it. The closest I can sort of tell you is, fellas, when your wife or your daughter's got the hair dryer out, and it's full of hair, and it starts getting that hair hot, and it starts smoking a little bit, that smell, it's not a pleasant smell is what I'm trying to get you to say. I asked my daughter about that when they cut that man's leg off, how they did it and everything, and I had to ask. I said, did it stink? He said, there for a moment when they began cutting the bone, the smell. Preacher, why are you drawing? We're going to eat lunch here in a minute. Well, maybe that's what's wrong with us, is we're too worried about what we're going to eat. Yeah. This man, a real man, a man that had been sick in this condition, the Bible says, for 38 years, lay daily in a place. Now this place is called Bethesda. It's known for the five porches as a historical place. It gives us some location there about where this was at, beside the sheep gate there, but where they had the sacrifices beside the temple. But it tells us something I don't think we understand a lot there, is this man lay every day in a place where there were many, a multitude of sick people. My grandfather on my daddy's side, my daddy's daddy, he laid in Davis Hospital. I guess it's still Davis Hospital. Is that what that's called? In Statesville. The doctor had done a procedure on him, and he got gangrene in his stomach. And the doctors had messed around and messed around and messed around, about let him die. He was rotting on the inside. You could smell him before I even opened the door to go in his room. That's how bad it got before we moved him to the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. He spent months down there, and we didn't know if he was going to live or die. But can you imagine this man's condition? This man, every day, laid at a place. I can't imagine the smell. I don't mean to be ugly about it, but I really believe this morning that if we get more of an idea of the state of man, the Bible tells us this man was an impotent man. He apparently wasn't able to move very well. Just a human waste that had to be in that place. The stench. Are you starting to get an idea of where the condition of what we're looking at? But let's go a little bit more into what we're reading here. And there's two things this morning that I want you to see, first of all, about this man. And there's two things, and I've wrestled all kinds of things about a title to messages, and it doesn't really matter what the title is. But there's two conditions I want you to see about this man that I believe draws to our mind. And I'm heading to a great thing here in a moment, I promise you. But this was a helpless man. And not only a helpless man, he was a hopeless man. How many of us this morning are 38 or older? 38 or older. 38 years of this man's life, he lay helpless and hopeless. Can you picture in your mind the condition this man mentally must have been in? As he knew that, and I don't know, some people say he was paralyzed, some people says he wasn't, I don't really know. It just gives us a little bit of, he was able to move because he talked about he in that condition of that pool, that when the pool was stirred, he couldn't get in as quick as somebody else. So apparently he was able to either drag himself or of some nature was trying to do something. But for 38 years, day after day, smelling the smell, looking around him, hearing the cries, hearing the... If you don't go to the nursing homes or if you don't go around the hospitals, you're oblivious to this. But man, you listen to these people. I can almost still hear that man crying out of that car that day. Get me out of here! And he screamed and he screamed and then... What long? He wasn't screaming no more. I'm sure in this man's state, day after day, he heard the moans of people. Even himself, I can imagine, in his hurt. I don't know all of his condition, but I know that there was a multitude of people that were in bad ways. The smell, the sound, the horror. Because I'm going to say there's many of them died, laying there waiting. This man, in his own words, in his own testimony that God gives us here in John chapter 5, I want you to see this morning how helpless. Can you see in his being, he wanted to get well or he wouldn't have been there. He wanted something to change or he wouldn't have been there. He made his all that he could do to do what he could to do something to change his situation. Every time, coming up short. Our country just went through 9/11 again. And just happened, I was able to be at the house some that day, and I turned on the History Channel and began to watch some of the things that the History Channel was putting out about that day in our history. I got to thinking, that's 14 years. There's a lot of people sitting here this morning that you weren't even born then. You go around our building out here, our children's churches, they weren't even in existence when all that happened. I watched as they reenacted that one group of firemen that was coming down that stairwell in the North Tower that began to collapse. And only by the grace of God, they gave credit to wherever they could give credit, but I know it had to be the hand of God, that those few firemen and that one woman, after all that fell down, I think they were on like the sixth floor or something like that when it all ended up. After all of that, found themselves trapped inside of a stairwell, not knowing what in the world had just gone on. They tried to go down and couldn't get out. They tried to go up and couldn't get out. Pretty hopeless and helpless, wasn't he? But this man here in John chapter 5, if we could just see a little bit about him this morning, I want you to see his physical condition. He was helpless. I mean, my mom broke her arm, many of you know that, and she can't do anything with her left arm. She broke her right arm. But I got to reminding me when Carrie, wasn't it Carrie or was it Ethan? When Daddy broke his arms. That was Carrie, wasn't it? My daddy fell off a ladder at work, and when he fell, he did like this and broke both his arms. He had cast from shoulder to the wrist like this on both sides. He couldn't do nothing. And I do mean nothing. But that was just temporary. This man for 38 years, smelling the smell, hearing the crying, how helpless day in and day out must have gotten. Not only do I see his helplessness, but also I believe it escalates into a thought of hopelessness. I'm sure that 38 years prior to that, when he first come on the scene there at that porch, I believe there was probably something in his heart that said, there's a possibility something could happen. But for 38 years, nothing happened. I believe as we find here in John chapter 5, I believe we see a man that's a great picture of a helpless man. I believe we see a great picture of a man that was hopeless. Let's look a little bit more of where he was at and what he was looking at. There's three things that I see about this scene that we see here. First of all, the Bible tells us there's a pool. Now, I know that we read here that something mysteriously was happening. Let me say this. I can't speak of all that says of, but one thing I can say, and I want to make sure you get it early because you'll probably cut me off here in just a moment like most people do. When your belly starts talking, belly outspeaks the preacher. When God does this great miracle here, the Lord never says one thing about a pool, and he don't even use the pool. That'll sink in a little bit. I want to make sure you hear that. Three things I want you to see. First of all, there's a pool. And can I say this morning, as we think about that helplessness, as we think about that hopelessness, can I say this morning, that's probably where some of you are this morning? Oh, preacher, I don't stink. I don't feel like I'm helpless. I'm able to go to work. I'm able to do this. I'm able to do that. But I wonder this morning when it comes, and all this whole picture here is a picture of the sinful state of man. It's the condition of man, and he's helpless, he's hopeless without God. And we see also that multitude, the world around about us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. We need to understand that's the condition all around about us, is that stench. But I wonder if we've lost the smell of it. Have we got used to it? Have we lost our ear for the cry? But here's a man that's helpless and hopeless, and what's he putting his faith in? Pool. Wait a minute, we got one of those. Look. Please don't fall. It fell. Look, we got a pool. It's all right. We got a pool.
is it?
It's Anthony White. We're from Gospel Light Baptist Church. Can we just talk to you a minute? Come to the door.
What do you want?
I just want to tell you about the Lord. What he done for me. Get to talking to him. Let me ask you something, sir. If you was to die today, would you go to heaven?
Well, I hope so. Well, I was baptized.
What are they looking at? They're looking at a pool. They're looking for something that they do, that man has done. They look at a pool. Please don't fall. Please don't fall. Yay! A pool. So there's a pool here. Notice also there's a place. Here's a group of sick, impotent people. Preacher, we're at church. Where was he at? Come on. He was looking to a pool, but where was he at? The pool of Bethesda. You know what it was known of? The place of mercy. It was beside the sheep gate. There's a lot of people that's going to be in churches here and all over this world that all they've looked at is something they did in a pool or because they go to church. A lot of religious people. But see, friend, this morning, and for you that are visiting, this might shock you, but if you've been around me any time at all, you know this statement. Religion sends a lot of people to hell. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist because I believe in the doctrine that I'm the pastor, so the doctrine I teach. Not going to heaven because a preacher, how old am I? 46. Got saved when I was 13. 33 years ago. I'm not going to heaven because 33 years ago in July, if I remember right, at Sloan's Mill in Union Grove, North Carolina, took me down to the creek, to a little pool of water, and dunked me under the water. I'm not going to heaven because of that. But not only do I see the pool and the place, but what's this guy relying on? Jesus is talking to him. He makes a statement. He says, sir, I have no man. Now, I've been told this, and I try to excuse it off and try to explain, especially when I'm in prison. Go to prison? Yeah, I've been to prison. But I can get out. That's the key to that prison visit. You folks that do any type of witnessing, we all should be. I've had people say, here's the man that saved me. I didn't save nobody. Can't save nobody. I knew what they meant. But I wanted to make sure they knew what they meant. This man's looking at a pool. He's at a place. Then he says there's no man. Again, think of the stench. Think of the cry. A helpless man. A hopeless man. And friend, this morning I believe with all my heart there's people here this morning lost and saved. There's a sense of helplessness inside of you. There's a sense of hopelessness inside of you. Now I'm glad this morning on the saved side of things, I'm glad this morning I know there is that hope, that blessed hope, amen. I'm looking for that hope. But if you're not careful, even if you're saved, you don't lose your salvation, but you can get blind. And you lose sight of the fact of how and what God is doing in our lives. But I believe there's a lot of people looking at a pool, looking at a place, looking at people this morning. You're as helpless and as hopeless as this man in John chapter 5 is. you lay yourself down at night. And God begins to work in your heart and begin to show you who you really are. And you lay there and you think, oh, I hate myself. I can't believe the things that I think about. I can't believe the things that I see, the things I listen to. I can't believe where I've been and what I've done. And this is what you do. You lay there wrestling and you finally say, I'm going to do better tomorrow. I'll do better. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm not going to go that way no more. You might do good for a day. Most people don't even make it a day. And then you find yourself helpless and hopeless again. The stench of sin. The horror of sin. But we see again this man at a place, at a pool, looking at a man. And then the man shows up. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this place. And when Jesus shows up, I promise you, things get better.
Amen.
And this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, goes to that man. A helpless man. A hopeless man. And he asks the question. Is it verse 6 somewhere around in there? This is the question. Now, I want you to think about this. I think this is, in the physical side of me, I think this is the most silliest question. But then I think, wait a minute. It was the Lord that asked the question, so it couldn't have been silly. Let's get our scene back together. Here's one man amongst many men, dying, sick, helpless, hopeless. Here is the man coming to a man that was impotent, couldn't get up, couldn't go. Been there 38 years. And the Lord looks at him and says, how you doing? Pretty weather today, isn't it? Well, I like fall. Hey, I had pumpkin cheesecake for supper last night. Man, it was really good. Somebody brought me a whole cheesecake today. Shh, don't tell nobody. Is that what the Lord did? Again, a very nasty place. I can't imagine the horror of that place. Jesus come to that man, and he asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, preacher, why do you say that's a silly question? Where was he at? He was a place that he was looking for help, was he not? He wasn't there for the scenery. He wasn't there for the show. What was he looking for? He was looking for some help. But the Lord wanted to ask him a question. Do you want to be fixed today? Do you want to be made whole today? Wilt thou be made whole? See, I believe you can sit in churches, a good church. We're not the only good church, but this is a good church. You can sit in a church like this. You can sit in Sunday school with great teachers. You can sing in the choir with great song. You can sit in the pew and hear preaching out of a good King James Bible that's straight and true. And still walk out those doors helpless and hopeless. Why? Because you're looking at a pool. You're looking at a religion. You're looking at what a man might say or do. But the Lord stands here this morning asking a group of Baptists at Gospel Light Baptist Church, wilt thou be made whole? We don't play games. I don't. You might. I don't. Let me give you my second title. Again, here comes the Lord on the scene. We've sort of drawn our picture to how nasty of a place. He's looking at a pool. He's in a place. He's looking at people. Then the Lord comes in and says, wilt thou be made whole? This is my other title that I came up, forget the pool when you got the fountain.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? He was looking at a pool, not knowing, if you back up one chapter before this one, the Lord tells us there was a woman at a well one day.
Amen.
She came with her own water pot to get a little drink of water. The same man showed up.
Amen.
He said, hey, you want something to drink? She's like, you ain't got nothing to give me a drink with. And the Lord says, if you only knew. He says, the water you're going to get out of the ground, you'll thirst again. But the water I'm going to give you, he said, it'll spring up into an ever-lifting, everlasting fountain.
Yes.
Let me give you a little scripture. We always like to back scripture in this thing. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6 and 7 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that has a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 1 says this, in that day there shall be a fountain. Praise the Lord. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for the uncleanness. Thank God there was a fountain. A place called Calvary on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross that one day they nailed my Jesus to. And they lifted him up between the heavens and the earth. And he cried out, it is finished. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain. Get the pool. I'm looking for a fountain. But let me warn you, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says this, be astonished. That's our problem. Listen to it. Let me give you the whole version. I'll back up. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You know what's wrong this morning? We're not astonished. What did he say? Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. At what? That somebody like this man in John chapter 5 would rather look at a pool or look at a place or look at a person than to look at a fountain. My wife is the owner of a resort. I can get you a good deal after a bit. We have lodging. We have a place to kayak. We have fishing. We'll even let you have golf if you want to hit a golf ball around. The center of our little resort that she owns is a place called Lake Kalapuki. Some of you that's been up our ways might know what I'm talking about. We have 9 acres that have a pond on it, and the water's so thick you could just about walk on it. It's not blue water. It's not even brown water. It's green water. It's where the cows like to hang out during the summer. I keep picking at her, but she don't get in water if she can't see her feet. I keep telling her I'm going to buy her one of those kayaks or one of those stand-up boards. I said, well, you can go up at the pond and... I kid you not. We went fishing up there one time and the worm wouldn't even sink. That old coon dog, Gypsy, she'd get in there and come out green. It's not a very attractive place. I would be astonished if she would get in it. I'd be afraid for her to get in it. But God's looking down upon man this morning and saying, I can't believe you'd pick Lake Kalapookie over a river, a fountain flowing with living water. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning that we need to understand our condition. We need to understand the helplessness and hopelessness of mankind and what sin is doing, what sin has done. And we need to understand that everything that man tries to do with his own hands is futile. It is worth nothing. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But here's a man talking to a man and asking, will that be made whole? Forget the pool. Take a fountain. Jeremiah 2 again says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. Who is he? The fountain of living waters. And what have they done? Instead of taking the fountain of living waters, they've hewed themselves out cisterns. Broken cisterns. That can hold how much water? None. A pool. Should you get baptized? If you're saved, you should. Salvation isn't in baptism, though. Should you come to church? Sure, you should. Should you listen to people? As long as they're telling you the truth. But you better forget the pool. You better forget the church. You better forget it all until you get a drink of water. Jeremiah chapter 17 says this, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Ooh. Well, I'm glad that clock's wrong. I thought, whoa, it's really late. It's not as late as I thought it was. Let me give you three things and I'll be done. What happened that day? Help came to a helpless person.
Yes.
Hope came to a hopeless situation.
Yes.
You know what can come your way this morning? Some help. You know what I want to tell you? There's hope. But let me show you three things about this man I think is so wonderful. Let's look at it once again. John chapter 5. Jesus saw him alive, verse 6. And knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Two things I'm going to give you, or one thing really that I want you to understand what the problem is here. And I believe it's the same problem today. You know what this man was doing? He was waiting. You know what a lot of you are doing? You're waiting. What are you waiting on? Waiting for some kind of mysterious type feeling? You waiting on the urge to hit you? You waiting on the doctor to give you bad news? What are you waiting on? This man was waiting. What was he waiting on? The troubling of the water? What are you waiting on? The Bible says today is the day of the Lord. Call upon while he's near. Way. Let me show you what takes place. Three little quick things. I won't even preach them. I'll just give them to you. Look at it. So the man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, and multitudes being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. I've always been amazed where he went. He went to the house of God. I believe when you get saved, there ought to be something that you want to be at the house of God.
Amen. Yes,
it bothers me when people don't want to be in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
I wonder about you. three things about this great day. And I just want to brag on the Lord a little bit because it happened to me. Preacher, that's not you, is it? Oh, yeah, that's me. Same guy. Because I was helpless and hopeless. There was a day in my life, and today might be your day, when the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to where I was. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" But Lord, I was at church. But Lord, I got a good mom and daddy. Lord, I got a good preacher. Lord, I got a King James Bible. Lord, I'm dressed. But he asked me, he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And that day I saw how nasty and helpless and hopeless I was. And I fell down before that same one. I said, "Oh God, wilt thou make me whole?" And immediately I was made whole. The first thing I see about our Jesus, when God does something, he does it right. Amen. The Bible says here, immediately this man was changed. Jesus looked at this man in his helpless and his hopeless state that laid there for 38 years. It smelled and was nasty and filthy and dirty. And Jesus came to where he was and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And after all of his excuses, Jesus looked at him and says, "Take up thy bed and walk." Did he argue with him? What did he do? Out the door he went. Hey, anybody in here saved? When'd you get it? As soon as you ask it. People say, "Well, he didn't say the right prayer." You want to know what I believe? You can believe whatever you want to believe. I believe a man this morning is sitting in this place, and God begins to deal with your heart, and you finally say, when he asked you that question here, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You look at him and you say, "Oh, yes, Lord." I believe that's when you get saved. Now, I believe in an old-fashioned altar. I believe in showing man scripture. I believe in praying. Nowhere in the Bible you ever find anybody saved by prayer. It's true. You find it. You show it to me. How do you get saved, preacher? You believe. This great day, this great man said, "Rise and walk." There was an immediate change. Second thing I see about this great day, just bragging on Jesus a little bit. 38 years this man had laid there. That day, something changed immediately. He picked up his bed and did something he hadn't done in 38 years. What are you saying, preacher? I believe when a man gets saved, I believe there's something noticeably different. There was something noticeable about this guy, wasn't there? The Jews looked at him like, you know, typical people. Instead of, "Hey, old so-and-so got saved. Woo, hallelujah, he's missing hell." The religious, "You can't do that. Who do you think you are?" What happened? I like him, though, this man here in John 5. He's like, "I don't care what you got to say. The man that told me to get up and walk, hey, I'm going to listen to him." But I see an immediate change, and I see something else. I see a noticeable change. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying you're perfect, because guess what? You ain't. But I'm saying when God's working in you and God's on you, there ought to be something different about you. You shouldn't have a desire to go back to where you used to go. You shouldn't have a desire to go down the way you used to be. Hey, there's something inside of you bigger than you. He picked up his bed and walked. Very noticeable. There was an immediate change. There was a noticeable change. Then there's a permanent change. What did Jesus say? "Go sin no more." Is that not what he said?
Yes.
Guess what? Listen to me. I want to make sure you get this. 13 years old, Vacation Bible School, a little place called Friendship Baptist Church in Harmony, North Carolina. I got saved. Hallelujah. That moment, immediately, the Lord took out the knife and stuck it into an old dead heart and did a circumcision. And he cut something away. And the Bible says over in John chapter 3, it's called being born again.
Yes, sir.
Now, the old man, Anthony, is still the old nasty flesh he's always been. I've tamed it a little bit. But I promise you, when I lose my mind one day, and I probably will, I can't tell you what this flesh will do. It's going to do what flesh does. But I can tell you something this morning. There's another guy on the inside. Paul talked about that battle between the old and the new. There's another guy on the inside that God cut away from the old guy and breathed into him the breath of life. And I've been born again. And listen to me, he'll never sin again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. What's been born of the Spirit? Not this old stuff, but that one on the inside that's aching to get on the outside. I want to forget the pool because I got a fountain. I want you to think about this man. He was helpless. He was hopeless. But there was one that brought help to a hopeless situation and changed a man's life forever. Guess what? He still does it today. Let's stand together this morning.